Welcome to the story of Corey, episode 3, Father Knows Less, with your hosts, Jerry, Jillian, and Steph. Hey guys, what's up?
Hi, how's it going?
Good, you ready to start this show?
No.
Sounds good.
Yes.
You are voted out.
I was confused.
You were confused by the question, are you ready to start the show?
Yes.
So that's our episode.
I see the confusion. Jerry's not in, so we will be going.
Spoiler alert, I hate this episode. Go ahead.
I do too. Does anybody like this episode? Anything? No?
No.
I don't see any hands. Okay, so I guess we'll just start on Father Knows Less. There we go. All right, so let's start in the kitchen of the Matthews home. So we have Corey and Alan. They're in the kitchen making sandwiches.
Ridiculous sandwiches.
Rather large bologna sandwiches, if I do say so myself.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Why is it that I was wondering why Ben Savage and William Russ were guesting on an episode of Home Improvement at the beginning of this episode?
Oh, was there like a little bar under it or something?
No, it was, manly men. What was that about?
Oh, I see.
why is that a thing?
I don't know. It was really weird. And then so like they're making these, it looks like they took 6 packs of bologna, put them between 2 things of bread. And then they put the sandwiches right into the paper bag without any plastic. And then they add chips. Chips to the bag. Alan puts in potato chips, but of course Corey, being the kid, puts in chocolate chips.
Which is
exactly. This lunch sounds absolutely disgusting, by the way.
Yeah, wouldn't the meat go all over the freaking bag?
Yes. You couldn't even pick up the sandwich. I don't even know how you'd eat it either, but
they wanted to feel that fistful of bread.
Yeah. That's a good band name, Fistful of Bread. Yeah.
It was not a good look. This was gross, and like even when I was a kid I would have been like, what are you doing? I can't eat this.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it was too much.
And then Amy comes in and makes this stupid mom joke where she's like, they're like, oh, we're eating all this manly food, blah, 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 we're men. And then she's like, well, here's some momly food so you don't die, and then puts apples in the bag. I wrote boo down.
I'm ready to ruin the fun.
Terrible. So we get it. They're men. They're talking about going to see the Blue Angels, which is the flyover and the whatever. I don't even know what the hell they are. Military, Navy, I guess. Right. Navy. Okay. So the Navy, they're going to go see the Navy. We're in the Navy, blah, blah, blah. Morgan comes in and says, I want to see the Blue Angels. So she thinks they're regular angels, I assume.
Oh, yeah, that's why her mom said, these aren't angels from heaven, sweetie.
Yeah, but Corey's response, he brings back his catchphrase. You do!
You do! I love that.
I also want to mention that they get away with abbreviating douche nozzle by saying, I forgot what he said, like the truckers passed by, they thought we were major nozzles. And I was like, that is definitely, because like, it's definitely douche nozzle, which was a saying then at that point in time. So
I thought that was weird because I'd never heard anyone call each other like a nozzle. I was like, what the hell is that?
I didn't get that either. Like,
it was really weird.
Yeah.
That was definitely a saying back then, douche nozzle. They got away with somehow saying that. They get away with some crazy stuff in some of these episodes.
I do like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did like Morgan's line where Corey says that she has like the attention of a 2-second span or something. Mm-hmm. And they go, Morgan. And then 2 seconds later, she's gone.
She's just gone. Case in point right there.
Yeah. So then we move on and Eric is still with Heather, we find out.
Yeah.
He's on the phone with Heather.
3 episodes in a row. This may be a girlfriend. We might see
this
a girlfriend.
This is a big relationship.
I don't know if I ever get to meet her.
Yeah, considering we've never seen Heather, this is a pretty long standing. And he's talking about like how she has hickeys and stuff, and his mom is in the room, and that just made me a little uncomfortable more than anything. Like, why wasn't he in his room? It's not like it was a corded phone or whatever.
Yeah, it was that stereotypical 90s phone.
Yeah.
So what? I sucked a neck.
Yeah, so what? I sucked the neck. I was like, okay. And he just brushed it off. He didn't care that his mom heard him.
It was just one of those things that did not need to be there.
It's just not it wasn't that funny either. I was like, okay.
It wasn't funny.
Did they put a laugh track behind that one, though?
I think they did put a little bit.
I think at this point they had a real audience because, notice. Yes, well, I don't remember if it's this episode or the next one, but I think the real audience started pretty quickly because you hear different like kinds of reactions. And I know that in the next episode, which we'll get to, there's a person who yells out a character's name in the audience. And so it's live. It's definitely live.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. I didn't note any like, we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this scene, we have Lenny Spinelli come to the door. He rings the doorbell and Amy answers it.
Boo. Awkward. I couldn't stand his character. I'm sorry.
Awful. Awful.
Absolutely awful.
So Lenny is a co-worker of Alan's. He's the assistant manager at his store, played by Willie Garson, and I recognized him the second I saw him. Did you guys recognize him at all?
Yes. No.
Did you, Jerry?
I said yes.
Yes, you did. Okay, where did you recognize him from?
I recognized him because I saw him on previews, and he was a day player. He was in a ton of stuff. Like, if you look at his IMDb, he was in, like, a lot of movies you've seen. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I was going to get into that. So, nothing specifically you've seen him in?
I mean, I know he's from Sex and the City. That I know.
That's what I knew him from. I used to watch Sex and the City every single night before bed. So he walked in and I was like, whoa, I know that guy, but he has hair. So I can't put the thing. So he's bald and has glasses, but he's Stanford Blatch in Sex and the City. That was like, I think, his most well-known role for the most part. But I wrote down some other thing he was in. He was in It's a Living. I don't know. I've never heard of that show. He was Carl on Mr. Belvedere.
Nice.
He's played Lee Harvey Oswald on Quantum Leap and on Mad TV for some reason. He's Phil's assistant in Groundhog Day. I don't remember that either. he was in Ask Harriet, NYPD Blue, Freaky Friday, the new version, Fever Pitch,
Mars Attacks,
John from Cincinnati. I didn't see Mars Attacks.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
He's in Mars Attacks. He's just like a businessman. He's not in it. Like, that's the thing, is he's in things.
I didn't write down any of his small roles, and these are all the big roles.
Yeah.
he's also in one episode of Girl Meets World.
Oh, no, spoilers! Oh, yep. No, why would you do that to me?
Ooh.
What's wrong with... Boo! Boo, you spoiled...
He's in one episode, you probably won't even notice them.
No, I will, because because he'll fucking be Lenny! He'll be the same
character!
He's not
Lenny!
Oh, well, spoilers again. Thank you very much.
Oh, God, I can't never talk about Girl Meets World ever again. And then he was on White Collar and Hawaii Five-0. That's just a few of them I wrote down. I didn't know any of those, never watched them. But he's been in, like, a shit ton of TV. So anyway, Lenny is the assistant manager, and he's coming over, and he does this bit where he introduces himself to every single person in the family, even though they've met him several times. He does this not once.
Every single time he comes over. Right. Not just the first time.
Second time.
I'm ready to kill this character.
Third time. Four times he does this in the whole episode. He introduces himself.
He was not funny. Like, the thing was, even the first time he did it, I didn't laugh. And that, to me, is already, like... You know that thing where you do things long enough or more times, it gets funnier each time? Nope.
That's
not here. Either. No.
So, yeah, he's just like a bumbling fool, I guess, is what we would say. He's a very nervous guy. He's very, he almost seems Jewish. Is that wrong for me?
Yeah, I could see that. I could see him being Jewish.
Wouldn't he be Italian with the last name of Spinelli?
But he's playing like as if he's Woody Allen or whatever.
Yeah, but he's like an Italian version of that.
Yeah, it's very weird. Okay, so maybe his mom was Jewish. You don't know that. Well, you don't know his life. You don't know Lenny.
Italians and Jews are the same thing.
Oh, that's true. All right, so yeah, he comes in, he bothers Alan, tells him that there's a Perrier spill in the Alka-Seltzer aisle, and... God forbid there's a freaking mess in the store, and Alan can't help but leave, even though he's supposed to go out with his son. So And then Corey says something a little, I guess, chauvinistic, where he mentions that if his dad leaves, he'll be on his way to his first ballet lesson.
Yeah.
That was really weird.
It was definitely anti his character. Like, he is, he's still, like, he gets grossed out by girls and stuff like that. So I think that it fits in just ever so slightly, but not well enough, if that makes any sense.
Well, it's like, if his dad doesn't spend enough time with him, he's going to end up not being taught how to be a man type of thing. That's right. Kind of how I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like his dad ingrained this into him more so, though, which is really weird because his dad seems like a superstar up until this episode.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was really odd, and I didn't think it was funny. So at worst, it was like, I guess you didn't have to say that. I mean, especially like nowadays, you probably wouldn't say that at all. It'd be like, oh no, he's making fun of women or something. And like, yeah, obviously men can do ballet.
All that bullshit.
Yeah. All right, so that's that. Does anyone else have anything about that scene?
I have nothing.
I have something about that scene. It sucked.
What? Oh, that's it. Okay.
You're definitely not wrong.
I'll tell you this. I didn't find Morgan funny at all in this episode. I feel like she hit out of the park in the first two. This one, like every time she's on screen, I'm like, okay. That's like, yeah, the thing about the 2 second attention span, but that was Corey's line, so she didn't actually do anything. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like she really bothered me in this episode. Leonard bothers me.
Leonard.
Yeah. Leonard Spinelli. Like, Alan's a dick. Amy's annoying. Like, everybody in this episode just, for some reason.
This whole episode just sucked.
There's, like, not a lot of one-liners even. I mean, even the one-liners are like, well, that wasn't very funny. That was just all right.
There's a couple, and they come from Minkus and are not named Sean, and that's it.
Yep. So we have, actually, I think that's the next. Okay, so the next scene would be when Alan wakes up Corey to go watch the no-hitter from the Phillies. Kurt Schilling is going to hit do a no-hitter. Ooh.
Who?
And then they have to.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Who?
We only know that because we're from the movies.
I feel like an idiot.
No, I was just going to say, I found it interesting that Alan didn't really try to wake up Eric. He just kind of said, you want to come too? And he was still kind of half asleep. And instead of trying again, he was like, nah, fuck you. I'm going to hang out with Corey instead. And he's really the one.
Good son anyways.
We know who the favorite is. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Eric was naked and taking a math test. He couldn't possibly get up and go watch the show. So. So they're making their famous sandwiches again. Are you happy?
No!
That food's disgusting. I'm sorry, but that just is disgusting.
You start putting chips inside the sandwich.
At least here they're putting it together themselves. It's throwing it in the bag and it's flying all over the place while you're going to school and all that. I know, like, that bothers me so much.
Like, you need some order. Like, I understand you're trying to be men, but it's like, you can't just throw your food everywhere. That's just,
So they're, and they're acting very manly again. They're like, like talking with their mouth full. Yeah, exactly. It's like, we get it. You're fucking men.
Fucking Tim Taylor yet again.
And then they have like, I noticed that they have a really loud aw track on this too, when he's like, thanks dad for waking me up. I'm so glad to spend time with you. It's like, oh.
To get a touching moment, don't need to put the laugh track. Not laugh
track. I can tell you this. The voice on the TV that you hear, the announcer, is none other than little Russ Thompson. His real name is Thomas Brown, but he was the next door neighbor in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the first one. So I thought that was interesting because he didn't.
Oh, okay. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Russ.
Is that it? That's all he's been in?
He was in other things, but I was just like, oh, it's the kid from that. When I saw the name pop up, I was like, I know that name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was only 2 guest spots in this whole episode, too. It was just Lenny and this guy. That's it.
Great.
So we're done with that. and then we go back to school. I like the only thing I remember from this part, besides Corey falling asleep and failing his test, is I like the back and forth between Minkus and Sean, like you said earlier.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That was funny. It was like Minkus being a suck up to Feeny, and then like he was calling Sean a plumber and basically said like go plug a toilet or something like that.
Yeah, it was a teacher's pet, fix a sink.
Yeah, exactly.
And they do it, they actually are really clever with the way they do it. They have like the camera in front, yeah. Minkus in the front, does not ever turn back to look at Sean. Sean but can't help but look directly at Minkus. And it's this great, like, he's like, suck up, future plumber, and they're yelling back and forth at each other in the same shot. I like that a lot.
No teacher would ever let that happen that long, though, which was great.
He didn't even say anything to them at all. You just let it happen.
Exactly.
I don't know. When I was a kid, that nobody cared. So,
well, it felt like during this scene, it felt like Sweeney was just like literally focused only on Corey. Did not care about any other kid in that classroom. Not even Sean, who was actually talking at the time. It's like really
Corey wasn't even
weird
doing
dynamic.
Anything except sleeping.
Yeah.
Well, that's because the writing is shit. So.
Yeah, okay then.
Feeny could really only feel. Guess. Well, it really was. I mean, I don't really. Yeah. There's nothing going on here. Nothing of any interest is going on right now.
Yeah, you'll notice I'm just basically telling everyone the plot, but it's like I can't say anything else.
You have no feelings.
Yeah, there's nothing. Like, there's nothing. There's no high points. There's nothing. We're back at the Matthews house, and we're talking about. So Corey comes home, and he's basically like blabbing out in front of his mom that he stayed up last night. Mm-hmm. And the dad's like, what the hell? Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Or like, he's just like,
okay.
Right over my shoulder.
Again, more poor writing. They could have easily done this differently where mom walks in when he says it. But no, mom's right there. So why would he... He's not that dumb. He's really not that dumb.
That's the thing.
Why couldn't she just walk behind him and be standing there and he had no idea she was there? She's right in front of him. It's like,
exactly.
There's no way he's that oblivious. Absolutely no way he's that oblivious. His mother being right there folding laundry.
Yeah, she could have been laying down on the couch and he didn't see her over there. I mean, anything could... There's so many options.
Oh my God, that bothered me so much.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
so
much.
It makes no sense. And not for nothing. But I've stayed up late many times in my life, and I've never fucking fallen asleep at my desk at school unless I was already had my head down and I wasn't doing anything.
If it was like a quiet period and we were reading or something, that's one thing. But like if I'm taking a test, I can't just be like, I'm like dead.
I've done that before. My teacher's voice was so monotone that I just ended up passing out. It was in a class I wasn't even supposed to be in anyways. They put me in the wrong class. And I'm just like, well, I'm not going to pass. I'm just going to sleep.
I wouldn't pay attention anyways if that was the case.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm
asleep. So the only thing I liked about this was they made a kind of sexual joke about Alan getting grounded by Amy. Did she do that?
In certain ways.
That's the only time I laughed throughout the entire episode.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have got that when I was younger, but I was like, oh, that's nice.
I laughed a little bit at the next scene with, well, not the next one, but the one with Feeny and Corey, but we'll get to that. But that was the only other time I laughed in this episode, really.
Yeah, and then we see Alan go outside and try to persuade Feeny to let Corey take the test again, and they're at odds, I guess. I don't know. Freaking Feeny doesn't care. And he's a real dick to him, too. So he says something like, you know, Feeny, if you had a son, you would understand, but you don't. So you don't get it.
That's a low blow from Alan.
What the hell, Alan? I liked your last episode. What are you doing? You're the villain?
That was uncalled for. I felt so bad for Feeny in that moment.
I did too.
Feeny, you have no kids. Go fuck yourself.
I see that you're alone.
Why?
That's why you're such a dick.
What? It boggles my mind how the one good thing is that it shows like that Alan is not as much of a super dad as he was portrayed in the last episode. That's the one thing I could take out of that and be like, all right, that's good, because I don't want him to. Everyone needs to be a little bit flawed. Nobody can be perfect. And
I agree.
So I like that, but I thought that there was no buildup. If it was like a buildup, oh yeah, well this, and then all of a sudden, oh yeah, well maybe you should have a son. Like, fine. But, like, it was just like, Alan, I don't think that this is you have no son!
You have no idea. Yeah, it was really, it was like uncalled for. It was like, the guy's so nice. He's being rational, because you don't just let any kid who falls asleep in school retake a test. That's not how it works.
No.
Neighbor or not, you don't, like, you have to do your job above all else.
Like, you think because you bought the house next to me, you have some obligation to be, like, a better, like, I don't know. It's just very weird.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It's like, just the look on his face said it all at the end of that scene. Oh, my.
Oh, and the music. Oh, no. Yeah. Poor Feeny.
That was good writing in that moment.
Yeah.
That was one of the better moments in the show, in the episode, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, I mean, the whole, everything with Feeny from here on in is good, I think, written well. My favorite line is just the last thing he said when he just goes, this particular conversation, however, is over. Like, it was so, like...
I did like that.
Because it makes you go, oh, man, he's like, so upset. And
He's just, tapping out.
But he's still kind of, like, doing his little Feeny. I don't know. I liked it a lot. But but then we come back with you got fiend, which...
Yeah.
All right.
And then another bad one-liner. Feeny's a butt.
Well... He's 11.
Like, I did like what Alan was like. Feeny is a butt.
They could have been more creative, but again, he has 11, like Jerry said, and I'm just like, I mean, not one of his better one-liners, let's just put it that way.
I think I've called people a butt when I was like 6.
Yeah, a butt.
When I was 11, I was like, that guy's a dick.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even think they could say dick on the show now.
No, but still.
Well, we are back at the... So at the house, I don't know if this was the next day. I can't even remember. Lenny comes back.
Ugh,
it's round two of Lenny.
It is the next day.
I didn't even write this down.
Lenny's back.
I checked out.
Lenny's back for more laughs. Here we go. Buckle up, everybody. Guess what? He introduces himself to Morgan. Gives a shit. Anyways, Lenny's, you know, he doesn't make an impression on anyone, so that's why he keeps freaking introducing himself. But apparently there's been a fire at the store. He gets all out of sorts when he walks into Alan and Amy making out in the kitchen. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you doing mouth to mouth with your wife.
Terrible line. It's so bad.
It was laughable because it was so bad.
Oh, great.
That was Tommy Wiseau style writing right there.
Sorry,
I walked in on you having mouth to mouth.
I wish we could redo this whole episode with Tommy as Lenny instead.
Yes. Yeah.
Special guest star. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Like with Corey at the age he is now. Everybody at the same age, because I think they're all still alive, right? So
yeah, probably.
Keep that all. Feeny's like 90. Doesn't matter. Time or so comes in talking to adult Morgan. Oh, hi, Morgan.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi.
Tommy, we've been through this.
My name is Tommy.
That'd be great.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, that's about it. And then Alan finally realizes that he was wrong about waking up Corey. Yada, yada. He learns a lesson. Great.
But then...
Then... Did you have anything else before we move on to Feeny's backyard?
Well, I mean, the store's on fire. That's...
I said the store's on fire.
Oh,
so all that's left is stuff.
That's why you don't need the fire extinguisher and fire fluid next to our rotisserie chicken.
Yeah, see,
yep, that's right.
Every single thing that happens in the store is because something touched something else. Whenever something goes bad and Lenny comes to be involved, it's because something in the store touched something else in the store. That
Lenny should not be working at the store.
Why did Lenny make house calls? I don't get that.
Because the first time was because he called and the phone was busy.
He has to pay for call waiting.
Because Eric... Oh, God, yeah. Because Eric was on the phone. So that at least made sense. The second time, no fucking clue. No fucking clue. Hey, hi, I'm Lenny. Jesus Christ.
The store's on fire. I'm going to go to Corey's house.
What about calling 911?
Damn it. What? I don't even know what Alan was going to do.
How is he the assistant manager? honestly, how the fuck is he the assistant manager when he can't do anything?
Apparently, Alan's incompetent. I don't know. That's what I'm gathering.
Eric's the only good employee there, and he doesn't even want to be there.
Oh, I'm supposed to be here today. Yeah. Anyways.
Eric is Dante.
That's perfect. Okay, so I like this next. Well, all right, I like this next scene, but it still wasn't a great scene. So Corey's playing with his tennis ball out back because his dad, you know, bailed on him again for playing tennis. So he goes, he drops his ball, he flings it into Feeney's yard. So he goes over the fence and grabs it, walks right by Feeney, doesn't see him sitting there, and then Feeney puts his flashlight on because he has a flashlight outside sitting down for some reason. And he's like, don't shoot Mr. Feeney. And it's like, why would he shoot him?
Doesn't he have backyard lights?
He's trespassing.
Yeah.
He walked right past him. He's in a freaking lounge chair.
My first thought was, why the hell is he just sitting out there in a lounge chair?
That was weird. How does he have no backyard lights?
Exactly.
Why is he a flashlight? What was he doing with the flesh?
Like, why was he just sitting out there in the dark drinking, apple juice or whatever?
Yeah, he's drinking apple juice out of this, what do they call the whiskey?
Like a brandy glass or whatever.
Brandy glass.
Yeah, it's brandy. Yeah. But I can tell you that was probably my favorite thing in the episode. Corey, yeah, he's like, have a drink. And he's like, really?
Yeah. And his smile, he's like,
yeah, he's looking directly at him with his giant smile. He's like, I'm taking more. It really, it called back to that pilot episode when he was like, my hand is on the door, I'm in the hall. Except it was visual completely. Yeah. So I like that a lot. That was really, made me laugh. And then he takes a drink and he's so mad. It's apple juice.
Yeah, he's pissed.
But that does lead to the question.
But he should have had the common sense to know that Feeney wasn't going to give him a drink. Like, he should have had that common sense.
Maybe not. Maybe Feeney was just like, you know what? Your dad's asleep. Fuck it. We'll do it. I mean, his dad woke him up in the middle of the night to watch baseball. Yeah, okay. Feeney could be like, have some brandy. Why not?
My only concern is that Feeney might be a little mentally unwell if he's putting his apple juice into a big decanter for brandy and then pouring it into another glass. He's making a whole extra step there.
Well, he said his sister bought him like that whole setup and he didn't want to get rid of it because his sister bought it. He said he only had that one drink.
Yeah.
Because I was confused. Like, Corey was like, what is this thing called? And he was trying to, like, just, you know, learn. And Feeney's like, it's called a Christmas present from my sister. It's like, now answer his question. He doesn't know what that's called now. He asked you for a reason. He wasn't just making conversation. That was weird. It was a teachable moment, and he skipped right past it.
Exactly.
He just wants to be a dick. That's just...
It was good.
That's what you call a Christmas present from my sister. It's like, really? Yeah. You're a teacher.
Yeah, but it's also called a decanter, for, you know, like, and a whiskey set or whatever, brandy set. I don't know, it was weird. that's what I wrote in my notes. Okay, but what is it? All right, so then he tells, like, stories about the war and him growing up and learning about it and how his dad, like, wouldn't let him stay up to watch the Truman speech or something.
It was Truman's basically giving the speech that the war was over, finally.
Oh, right, right.
Oh, yeah, he wanted to stay up to listen to that, but his dad was like, you have school in the morning or whatever.
But that's not the reason why. It was because he wanted to fucking hang out with his friends.
He used the excuse that he had school in the morning or whatever, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't want little Feeney hanging around with him. Go to sleep.
Little Feeney.
Go to bed, little Feeney. Go to bed.
I did like that moment. It was, like, heartfelt, I guess. I mean, it's a teachable moment, too, for Corey, seeing, like, there's, you know, I mean, he's basically seeing, like, Feeney was a kid. He was in my situation, and he didn't have a dad that wanted to hang out with them.
Yeah.
So, kind of feel sad for Feeney in that.
Yeah, I do like that the lesson here is not a very clear lesson. It's more of, like, there are two sides to every story, and even though one thing is really the right thing to do, sometimes we shouldn't always do the right thing.
Anarchy. No, so
that's how I took it. Yeah, no wonder I turned out this way.
That's exactly what Amy says in his bedroom, actually. It just says, like, well, basically that's the life lesson of this episode, I guess. I don't really understand the episode, but it's about, like, two adults both being right in their own way. And, yeah, because he's like, how come I only think one way and I'm always wrong? And she's like, well... That's because you're a moron. No.
She actually said that. No.
Yeah, she did. And then there's a call back to the adult joke about Alan being grounded. Am I still grounded? Ooh. Ooh. And then Corey says, like, oh, he won't be back tonight. I was like, what?
Say, Corey.
Corey, know what grounded, in quotes, grounded means.
Like, because
I didn't know that at age 11. Granted, really? I did some fucked up shit at age 11, but that was me.
I was going to say, at age 11, I knew a lot more than that.
Yeah, but I would never talk about my parents like that.
Exactly.
No, I was just going to say it was weird, but, like, I think it was funny that it's like Corey picks up things easily. Before, he didn't know what he was talking about. Alan said, in certain ways, didn't explain more, but Corey figured it out. He was
put,
like,
two and two together, yeah. Right.
Like, and probably heard them that night, so.
He heard them walk down the hall, open the door, and was like, yeah, yeah, go, Mom!
Like, don't get my ass. He brings his Phillies pendant.
Excuse me.
That was the episode. I don't really have anything else. Do you guys have any other notes that we missed?
Again, this episode was shit.
It was. I really had a hard time, like, writing stuff down.
There was no credit scene for, like, for no reason. Like, the other two episodes we've seen have had credit scenes. This one...
So I was going to message you this. The one time I watched the credits, there was no credit scene. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
I follow your advice, and then you lie to me.
Just, I guess it had to end on a high note with the, he won't be back tonight.
Hey! Yeah. Ho, ho! Hey-o. Good night, everybody! I would have loved if that is how it ended, if he was just like, good night, everybody!
He's really, like, talking right at the camera.
To the camera!
For this episode.
They play, like, the Looney Tunes
music. He's phoning it in.
Yeah. They play like that, but hey, that's all, folks.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know. The only thing I can say is that Minkus makes some damn good elaborate origami. That's the only thing I have written that you haven't mentioned.
Oh yeah.
When did he make the origami?
He had this giant, like, movable swan that he created.
Swan?
Oh, right. I forgot that
normal,
was this episode.
That's the regular origami, though. It's nothing special.
Yeah.
It moves!
Yeah, the swans move.
That's the whole point of the origami swans.
All right, whatever. He's fucking 11 years old and he's making origami. I think that's fucking amazing. Whatever. You know what? Screw you guys!
I guess you didn't learn that.
Screw you guys! I'm going home.
Seriously.
And there was no new writer or director for this episode, right?
Yeah. Well, surprisingly, the writer was April Kelly, who created the show. So I have a feeling that since the pilot was so good, Michael Jacobs must have did more of the writing, because April Kelly was terrible. Terrible.
Terrible.
Yes.
This was, like, it was painful to sit through this episode. I'm not going to lie. Like, it was painful for not having
seen it twice, too, and I still couldn't get shit out of it, so.
For not having seen the series before, it's just like, why am I doing this? Why am I sitting through this?
All right, so I guess we have to. Yeah. I guess we have to ask the question. Yep, go ahead.
I was just going to say, now it's not funny anymore, but the reason we're sitting through this is to get to the next episode, which is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll talk about
it's just a bridge.
Yeah.
So, the only thing we have left is, would it air today? Is there anything wrong with it?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with, well, other than the horrible writing, there's nothing wrong with it.
The manly man thing, I don't think is going to fly today. It's in this day and age. They're not going to let it happen.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think
I wouldn't have picked up on that. Like, I didn't see anything wrong with it. Like, yeah, there's this whole, like, women's rights movement and stuff like that, but...
Well, the thing is, they're making it seem like men are better and oh, look at us, we're so... But then the talkback is going to be, well, does that mean that women aren't strong? You know, and
I think the only problem I had was like the comment about doing ballet and everyone would be like, oh, men do ballet. And right. Men are actually pretty good ballet like dancers when they do maybe it. They so.
Yeah.
So I could see that being.
And maybe the whole thing about like the Brandy. Like,
oh, yeah. I forgot about that part.
Like, I don't think that drinking. Would be allowed.
Yeah. Because it was apple juice in the end, I think there's a small possibility, but probably not. I think that ABC would get too scared. I think they'd be like,
maybe that's too edgy.
Yeah.
Like, maybe if it was on Fox or one of those channels, Adult Swim. Like, one of those channels who don't give a fuck about what others think. Yeah. But for a Disney show, then, yeah, I don't think so.
No,
yeah.
Disney is staying far away from alcohol, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes.
But, you know, you have the Goldbergs and Fresh Off the Boat on ABC. And those, you know, they have, you know, alcohol and, but not.
I think those are more geared towards adults, though. They're not children's shows.
True, but this was on.
Blackish.
Right, but this was on TGIF. It was at night.
No, yeah, I know. I'm saying, I'm picturing for like a Disney Channel show nowadays, because I don't think Boy Meets World would be picked up.
Well, it's nice to just look at it in both ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seeing like, can it be aired at all? Because there are certain things you can't do at all. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know if you'd be able to make the... I mean, obviously not on Disney Channel, but on ABC, I don't know how much you'd be able to make the Corey... No, he won't be back tonight, folks! Hey! Ha-cha-cha-cha!
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they'd be able to say that. The first part would probably go, that would be fine, but him knowing about it, that's going to be a problem, because they're going to be like, oh, well, kids shouldn't know about sex at that age.
You're throwing sex at my kids. You can't do that.
Exactly.
They can't know what it is until they're married. Our episode itself is going to end on a disappointing note because of this fucking episode.
That's okay.
Disappointing episode, disappointing podcast. What can you say?
Oh. No, sorry, people.
I blame it. Disappointed.
I mean,
you don't have that clip, do you?
What?
Gary, you don't have that disappointed clip, do you?
Disappointed!
That's perfect. I'm going to end it right there.
Okay.
All right. Everybody say good night and good luck.
Good night and good luck.
Disappointed!
As am I.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Message on an ill wind. All your friends and your foes would rather die than have to touch you. To say the least, I'm truly disappointed. Truly, 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 and I said too much, and there's nowhere to go but down. Young boy, I wanna help you see these lies, truly disappointed. We'll be right back.
Good night, everybody.